Carlosophies, I'm Carlene Nimmo. Time to meet some of my very cool friends.
Oh, hey. Yes, it's me. And there was no episode that went out yesterday and I am by myself today. And I wanted to break down my experience of restarting Carlosophies and also just talk to you a bit about how things are going to happen moving forward. So my plan, I didn't really have a plan stepping back in. What I knew was that I was feeling isolated and I've been struggling with my connection to my voice, which was something that I at one point did feel quite connected with, and I felt quite free in my expression. I felt I wasn't censoring myself as much as I usually would. I felt like I was creatively doing really well. And, you know, we all, well, if this is your first episode listening to me, you'd have no idea what I've been through the last few years. But essentially, you know, went through some really big life stuff, lots of kind of trauma to my nervous system, have found it very difficult to recover. And on top of that, you know, compounding that with COVID, social isolation, I found it really hard to get back out and amongst it. And so coming back to this podcast and restarting it again has been a way for me to practice using my voice on a semi-regular basis, but also connecting with other people. Now, you know, we're like nearly 400 episodes deep here. I have been doing this for years, and had it been just an issue of consistency, I would be somewhere other than I am. Like, if success, whatever that means, was just a matter of consistency, I've been consistent as fuck, you know, up until the last little while, the last 18 months or so. I had released an episode every single Wednesday without fail for, you know, almost 7 years. And with that came a confidence in that I knew I could hit record and I could just blah, 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 blah. And it was still somewhat at times challenging to hit publish, but, you know, I did it. And I want to get back to that place where I feel more confident in my voice and trusting my voice. And so part of coming back has been that, developing my relationship to my voice again, building that trust back up. Because to be honest, this is the second time I've hit record on this episode, and it probably maybe not be the last. We'll see. If you're hearing this, this is the last time I hit record. Which is progress, because I don't want to be constantly censoring myself. I've censored myself enough throughout my life. Like, I want to be free in the way that I express myself. I feel like it's actually part of my purpose in life. And without having those forms of free self-expression, I feel I'm not in a particularly well headspace. So it is important to me. But also coming back meant that I could connect with people that I dig, whether I know them personally and I have a real rapport already with them, like with Lisa and Dan and some of our future guests, but also with people who I just think are fucking cool and I want to find out more about them and what makes them tick. Because I have been living in a very small bubble and I'm ready to venture outside of that bubble a little bit and reconnect and practice some social skills, which sometimes I lack. And I want to be really real about this. The anxiety has been quite big, and in some instances I feel like it's almost hijacked the experience of the interview. So it was a logical place for me to start with Lisa Corduff, because I started with Lisa Corduff. Like, she was my first interview ever for this podcast back in 2015. And it was just a very casual, relaxed thing. Though I was anxious as fuck, and I've always experienced anxiety in conversation. because I'm when I for some reason when I turn into the interviewer, I feel some obligation to drive things, and like I need to know where it's going, which is a classic for me. Anyway, it's one of the ways autism presents itself, is in the need to know. I need to know how things are going to go, and this is one of those areas where I never do know. And I had become quite comfortable in going with the flow. But, yeah, the last few years have seen me become quite rigid and, and less free. It's funny, I was just having a conversation, which will come out soon, with Alison Davies, where I was talking about how I think I would really love improvisation if I could give myself permission enough to relax into it. But often I'm so focused on like what I think, where I think it needs to go and where it should, you know, but when I'm really relaxed and in the flow and actually enjoying it, I love improv. But I find it the scariest fucking thing ever because I don't know where it's going to go. I've been watching, actually, I'll have to find the Instagram handle. I think it's called That Improv Guy. I'll pop a link in the show notes to this if you're interested in checking it out. But it's these people who do like improvisation singing. A friend of mine, Kylie, forwarded me one of their videos of them making up a song on the spot. Because she thought the girl looked like me when I was younger and reminded me her of me. And I watched it, I love this girl. So I'm like, oh, this is so cool. I'm so glad that you see her in me because I don't know, like she's just so cool. Anyway, they improv songs and it's so funny. And like, I love it. And I think to myself, gosh, I want to be that free again. I want to be that free where I can just, you know, jam out something and not be thinking about the performance of it all, just be in the moment, going wherever I want to go. Like that's where I'd like to be. And there's so many reasons that maybe that would never be possible, but I feel like I've had it before and I want to get back to that place if possible. So hence restarting this podcast. And I started with Lisa because she was comfortable with me. I knew she'd had a big time, like a big few years, as you heard, since the last time we spoke on this podcast. Obviously, I've spoken to her in between that. It's not like we just show up, record a podcast every 7 years and that's our friendship. I've been along the journey with her. So I knew that there'd be a lot for us to talk about. And she's someone that I do feel comfortable with. So I knew that that was going to be a good conversation. And then with Lisa, I actually felt quite a bit of anxiety driving that conversation. And I'm not sure why, because I love Lisa. And we, you know, she's like a Lisa Orkin I'm talking, which is episode 3. I'm not sure why I felt so much anxiety around that. And then with Dan, even more anxiety. And you probably don't hear that. Well, I don't know how I'm perceived, so I have no idea. Maybe you can smell my fear from a mile away. Maybe you've got a radar for that kind of thing. But I feel like when I do the edit, it sounds so much better because I do edit when not in solo episodes generally, but with interviews, I do a pretty thorough edit because I want this podcast to be something you want to listen to. And this is my craft. This is something that I've mastered over the years is the edit. So why would I not highlight my skills? And I think sometimes the skills are when you don't even know it's been edited. So hello, just ruined a major thing for you. Yeah, it sounds unedited, but it's very edited. Because what you would actually hear if you were there live with me is really awkward pauses, me losing trains of thought, guests, you know, losing trains of thoughts, not knowing where they're going. Like I edit because I want it to be enjoyable to listen to. And sure, like there's something to be said of it being free flow and, you know, having all the errors in there. But at these days, attention spans are short and I want to create a solid product. So I'm going to edit that shit out because you don't need to hear it. It's not moving the story forward. But what I wanted to use this particular solo episode to do is to say that, like, what's actually going on behind what you're hearing, which is a lot of anxiety. a lot of anxiety, a lot of questioning, a lot of self-doubt. And yet I'm moving through it just one breath at a time, because I do want to do this. I do want to do this. However, what I've figured out is what I don't want is to be on this rigid every Monday, get an episode out forevermore again, once again, right? Like, I don't want to be producing this show for the sake of getting an episode out because I said I would. I want these conversations to be really impactful. And while I know being on a regular schedule is probably better for growth, I'm not that worried about growth. I'd like it for sure, but it's not really why I'm standing here behind the mic. There's a bunch of other reasons why. And as we've just discussed, those are building my confidence, feeling more free in my expression, learning to trust my voice again, having conversations and connecting with people. You know, these are the key drivers of me, less so growth. And what I don't want to do is just be falling into that trap of getting an episode out that I don't think is great just because it's Monday, you know. Now, I did want to put something out this week because I had kind of said, actually, I never really said I'm back and it's going to be every week. But it might not be, you know, like I might drop in. I do want there to be a regular, somewhat regular flow. Like, I don't want to get into the position where I was, particularly last year, where I put out two or three episodes. I want it to be more regular than that, but not as rigid as every Monday without fail. Because to be honest, I do have quite a lot going on in my life. And the reason there was no episode out yesterday is because I didn't get a chance to record. I've had so much work going on. I've just gotten a promotion, which is great, which will give me more structure and routine. And then I may be able to be sticking more to, you know, every Monday. But at this point, I've just had, you know, I was in Coffs Harbour. My kid was performing at Compass Music. It's like a New South Wales Education Department brings kids together from the far, like the North Coast. So from kind of Nambucca through to Tweed to all the local school choirs and orchestras and performers, and they do this kind of showcase. So I drove down to Coffs on Sunday for that, and that was all day. Yesterday I worked from our studios in Coffs, and then they performed last night and I had to drive back from Coffs. That's about 2 hours, just over 2 hour drive. And then this morning she had to be at school at 8 because she has a dance competition today with school. Who organises this shit? Surely they look at some kind of calendar and they could see, oh, look, we've got a music festival for the kids in public schools in Coffs Harbour on the Monday, and then on the Tuesday we have the North Coast Dance Festival in the other end of the spectrum at Tweed. You know, it's like that. And so she had to be at school at 8 a.m. to do a full day of dance rehearsals, and then they perform tonight. So it's been a big few days. I've been trying to manage work around, you know, all the stuff that's been going on in life. And life is where I want to be. I don't want to be missing out on life because I'm so head down, bums up, trying to meet some imaginary deadline that I've set for myself that is so arbitrary and it doesn't matter at all. I guess I just wanted to come in here and say, look, going forward, maybe you'll get an episode weekly. I'll aim for a Monday, but I may miss it here and there. And if that's the case, it's probably because I was too busy. I prioritized other things, or I didn't, you know, I couldn't schedule in someone that I thought would bring a real interesting conversation. So I, you know, skipped that week. But also I wanted to just highlight to you that this has been really hard. It has been really hard to come back, and I'm moving through a lot of anxiety and a lot of self-doubt, and there's a lot going on in my head when I'm recording. So if that's the case for you and you're allowing those things to stop you from doing something that you really want to do, because I really do want to do this, but like if I allowed my anxiety to take over, I wouldn't. Interesting enough, there's a young girl who is in the school community who suffers from a lot of anxiety, and she has been, her mum has been struggling to get her to school, the whole school can't thing. And I know those feels. And I've had some conversations. I had a conversation with her mother this morning just about like how it's such a hard thing to balance as a human being, whether you're being a parent or experiencing it yourself, that anxiety of when the anxiety stops us from doing things, you know, because part of it is right now I recognize I have been in a place which hasn't been great, you know, like my body has been exhausted, my mind has been impacted, my confidence has been kind of shot, and I still want to do this. And that is going to require me to get over myself a bit and to show up and do things that feel difficult in the moment, but feel worthwhile longer term. And we had a bit of dance refusal recently where Mabel didn't want to go to dance, and my brain is like going at a million miles an hour in a million different directions, and it's really hard for me to focus. So, because there's two separate trains of thought running, so I'll come back to one. Okay, so Mabel and the dance thing. So she does this troupe, and they had a practice day for one of the styles of dance, hip hop. And for some reason, Mabel didn't want to go, and she was feeling quite anxious and upset. And I didn't know that until we drove up and got into the car park, and she started crying. She was like, "Mum, I don't want to go." So I went in and I spoke to the principal of the school, and they kind of said, "Well, if she doesn't come to this practice, then she can't compete because, you know, we need her to kind of commit. We can't have her doing this on the day, but also, you know, she needs the practice. And if she can't practice, she can't compete." So I went out and had a conversation with her, and I said, "Look, this is what they've said. Now, you have a decision to make here, because you can, I want you to feel safe. And if this is something that you don't feel safe around, then we go. But if this is something that just feels hard for you right now, for whatever reason, and you're having a lot of big emotions and fear and things coming up, then let's just do it. You know, let's go in there. Sometimes we do have to do hard things, as we said with Lisa Corduff, but we also get to do fun things. But sometimes we do have to do hard things. And this felt really hard for her. It felt really hard for her to get out of the car and get in there. But I knew once she was in there, she would have a great time. It was just the anxiety of her feeling like she wasn't, you know, as good of a dancer as the others that really was playing in her mind. She didn't feel ready for this. But she went. And she proved to herself, she built the confidence that, yeah, you know what, like I might feel nervous about this, but I made the right decision. I went and I did like it. And that's kind of what I'm looking to do here. And coincidentally, that's what happened this morning with the girl I was speaking around about earlier with school refusal. She was feeling really anxious and didn't want to go, and then, you know, decided, yep, okay, she'd go as far as the school and then onto the bus. And as the bus drove off, her mum was just like, "Yes, she did it," you know? And I feel like this, like I am my mother, like I am being my own mother through this. I'm being the person who's like, "You know what, babe, you've got this. Jump on the bus. Look, I'm here. If you want to back out, if it all feels too much, like we can take a step back. It's all good. You know, have that safety net there. But also like, you've got this, you can do this. So jump on the bus and go and see what happens." Because I'm never going to know for certain anything in life, certainly not what's going to happen 2 minutes from now. As much as I would love to have that, it's just not, it's not how life works. So I got to jump on the bus. And even when it feels scary, because I know I'm safe, you know. So this is me. Carlosophies, if you're not picking up the metaphor, Carlosophies is the bus. I am jumping on the bus and I don't know where I'm going. And I don't know really the regularity of which I will post, but I do know that I'm here for the ride. So anyway, that's it for me this week. Next week, you're going to hear from someone who I absolutely adore, and she was mentioned in the episode with Lisa. Her name is Alison Davies. She was a neurologic music therapist. She is the person who, I guess, was my first, the first autistic person that I met that made me think, wow, I could be autistic. So we have a conversation around music. We have a conversation around being autistic. You're going to love it. I'm so fucking excited to get this one out there, but I'm going to wait for next week. So this is it for this week. I did it. It's going out. High five to me. Yay. Peace out.